Well, if only they played in the AL Central, Kevin.
Be nice. Be nice, Jeffrey.
Come on.
Be nice.
What are they, 12-5 against the Central after tonight's 4-3 win over the Chicago White Sox? The numbers to call, as always, 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. It is Blue Jays Talk. I am Jeff Blair. Kevin Barker alongside me in spirit, if not necessarily physically. Kevin, what was Joe Kelly doing?
That's a great
throwing
question.
That pitch, throwing that that hanging slider to Vladdy?
It's a great question. After throwing 101 with run in on Vladdy's hands, I mean, you could see the reaction that Vladdy had was like, boy, I better get it going or I'm going to try and lay off that. I mean, he gets it close, he gets him out. But give Vladdy credit, right? It's keeping the front side in. It's not chasing the 101 in, right? That allows you to get to the 2-1 hanging slider. Give him credit, right? He went a little backleg city. That is a true backleg city, right? He's keeping his weight on the backside. He's got a little loft in his barrel, which is what you need to get the slider in the air. Give him credit. Stayed inside of baseball. Only thing I can say for all the Jays fans who have wanted to say this all year, it's about time.
Well, there's not much doubt it was Vladdy's fourth career go-ahead home run in the seventh inning or later. And after being swept by the Boston Red Sox at home and having an off day, starting what should be, nothing's easy for this team this year, but you would have to think that a three-game series against the White Sox and a three-game series against the Tigers, that's a pretty easy way to go into the All-Star break if you are the Blue Jays.
Boy, you'd think so, but Jeff, they scored four runs. They scored four runs against one of the worst teams in the American League, if not baseball.
Like, yeah, a decent pitcher, though. Lucas Giolito is not, you know, you're scoring four runs against a bad team. But Lucas Giolito's a pretty good pitcher.
Okay. I mean, if that's the that's
well, you
the
don't think he
you
is.
Want, that's
well, I'm not saying. I mean, yeah, it's not like the Jays hitters beat the White Sox hitters. All you can do is face the pitcher you're facing that day. It doesn't matter if the White Sox are a bad team or not. They only got three runs. Doesn't matter if they're a bad team. That was a good pitcher the Jays beat. I mean, you don't think? Like, I mean, we're at this point, we can't be that picky. At this point, it's all about results.
There you go. We got 44 more wins to get to 90. How's that? I'm with you, Jeff. I'm in your camp now. You persuaded me. 44
I'm just
more
not
wins.
Interested. I'm not interested. I don't care. I'm not interested in brownie points. Beat teams. I don't care if you rattle off 15 1-0 wins in a row. I don't give a rat's you know what. Just win the games. I don't care how you do it. I don't care who the hero is. I don't care how to start. Just win games. That's what it's all about. 4-3, the Jays winning tonight. Vladdy Jr. with a two-run home run. Whit Merrifield, two-hit Whit, living up to his name, including a two-run double that broke open. I mean, I don't know if I'd call it, let's be clear, I don't know if I'd call it a pitcher's duel, but Chris Bassett and Lucas Giolito both went at it pretty well. It was timely. Luis Robert Jr. hitting a three-run home run off of Chris Bassett for the White Sox to give them the lead at 3-2 before Vladdy came up. And, you know, yeah, listen, it's, you know, as I said, it's the White Sox aren't a bad team, or the White Sox aren't a good team, but Lucas Giolito's a good pitcher. And the Jays beat a good pitcher tonight. And, of course, it was a day of news on the Blue Jays front. John Schneider, the Blue Jays manager, I think surprising almost all of us by announcing before the game that Alek Manoah is going to start against the Detroit Tigers on Friday. A couple of things I thought about after that, Kevin, and we'll take the callers. I want the callers' point of view on this as well about Alek Manoah. If you start Alek Manoah on Friday with the All-Star break coming up, I'm wondering if maybe the plan here isn't start him on Friday – send him out again so he can start in the minors one more time and then bring him back up the next time you have a major league start. Because you don't need, if Alek Manoah pitches Friday, you don't have to. I mean, I guess you could go back with him on Friday when the season resumes again, or you could just let him have another run, another turn, and then bring him up in the next start. I mean, either way, I think we've kind of decided it's, you might as well, I thought about this coming home tonight. You got to know what you have, I think, in Alek Manoah going into the trade deadline. I always bought, I bought into the argument that, you know what, you just approach the trade deadline as if you're going to need another starting pitcher. Go out and try to add that starting pitcher. And then if Alek Manoah comes back, that's great. Then you've got a little more depth. But it appears as if the word in Hyunjin Ryu is a lot more optimistic than people may have initially thought. So I don't know, Kevin, maybe this is a chance to get a read on Alek Manoah. I mean, if Alek Manoah can't compete against the Detroit Tigers, then I think we have our answer. And I'm not certain it's going to do any damage one way or another having him up.
Yeah, I'm not sure they're going to send him down. I mean, after the year he's been through, I don't that'd be a tough sell mentally.
Well, no, it's just to go down and get another start because there's no start available maybe for you with the All-Star break.
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
it's been done before.
I'm sure it depends on how his start goes in Detroit. Look, they seem to think that he can command a fastball arm side. He can do it with a sinker. He can elevate a four-seamer to a lefty. He can throw a slider for strike one. He can throw an eliminating slider to a right-handed hitter. If he can do all those things, I don't care if it's Detroit or not, that seems to be when he's at his best. If they think he can do that and repeat delivery, that's a big deal, right? Conditioning, throwing program, all those things that he was working on when he went down there. They think he can repeat delivery. You know, you go through the little hiccups that you don't throw one where you want it to go. You self-correct on the mound. They think he can do it. Call him up. Find out. I'm with you. I think that's – it seems like they think they know where he's at and – that he can be able to do all those things. Oh, we're rooting for him.
Either right? That or it's a colossal mistake and it's going to kill his career. One of the two.
Yeah. Only time will tell, I guess.
Go to Cole in East York. What's up, Cole? You want to step up and defend Vladdy? I think you're the first caller this year to do that. So welcome.
I feel like I've been the first person to do that all year on the Blue Jays Center page that I'm on. But yeah, I want to talk about the fact that there's a lot of blame to be thrown around this year for the Jays. Obviously, we're not meeting expectations, but it seems like that is unquestionably, undeservingly going towards Vladdy for a guy that is an 800 OPS hitter and our best hitter with runners in scoring position. What's our biggest problem this year? Runners in scoring position. Who's one of our best hitters with an 878 OPS? Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He's amongst the team leaders in home runs, and he's by far been one of our most consistent hitters when it comes to clutch moments this year. Him and Bo Bichette. So I feel like the blame for Vladdy when there's a lot of other problems going on this team, like the fact that this bullpen has never been constructed for a postseason run, the fact that the bottom of the lineup has never been constructed for a postseason run, and until this year, the rotation had always missing an extra couple guys at the back end of it until this year. And then, of course, this being the year that Alek Manoah goes down to start the year. So I always felt that the deserving blame for Vladdy was, in my opinion, lazy. It was a lazy way of looking at things. In baseball, a star player can only have so much effect. So even if Vladdy was a 900 OPS hitter, we're probably only talking about an extra win or two from this team total, because then his WAR is probably only like a 2.5.
Kevin, I'll turn it over to you. I think Vladdy's been a disappointment.
Well, thanks for the call. Look, I think coming into the season, I'm probably Vladdy's biggest fan just because I used to try and do what he does.
I think Cole's his biggest fan.
It seems like it. I think we're tied. What we saw tonight, right, is taking 101 in. It's getting the slider away on a 2-1 pitch and hitting it where he hit it, right? It's sometimes that's what you want to see more often. It's like the Otanis who have 31 homers. It's like Matt Olson who's got 28 homers. It's like Pete Alonso who's got 25. Luis Roberts Jr.'s got 25. That, I think, is the disappointment. That's where Vladdy needed to be this year, at least early in the season, to get this team where they ultimately wanted to go. I'm not saying he's a disappointment, but I think he could do better, right?
That makes him a disappointment.
As long as he went at home, a hitting homers, like, disappointment's strong. He's got some catching up to do. How's that?
Why has he got catching up to do?
Again, I just told you, the people that are on the dudes that are on really good teams hitting homers helping their team win baseball games, they're a big part of it because of what they're doing offensively. Disappointment's a bit strong, but he could do some catching up. You're not going to talk me into saying he's a disappointment. You're going to keep trying, but you're not going to do it.
No, I'm looking at weighted runs created plus. He's 53rd in baseball. That's not very good. That's certainly not let me rephrase that. That's certainly not MVP caliber. I don't think anybody could say that. Yeah, I listen, I don't know. Vladdy's not entirely to blame, but in terms of this team's offense, I think he shoulders most of the blame. I really do. And I don't have any problem. I don't have any problem saying that.
It's 32nd in total bases, too, which is a big deal for really good hitters. It's not very good. This is what I said. He's got some catching
up. We could sit here and talk about his batting average with runners in scoring position, which is a big deal because we talked about batting average with runners in scoring position.
Because of where he hits
in the
order.
Just because the rest of the team sucks doesn't mean Vladdy has to suck, right? And, again, he has not been. I expect him to be as an MVP caliber player. I expect him to be among the top 10 players in the game. He's not. Offensively, he's not. You cannot make that case. So I don't have any problem saying that Vladdy's been disappointing. Doesn't mean he's a bum. Doesn't mean he's no good. Doesn't mean you get rid of him. But I'm saying that I think he's the major reason this lineup is scuffled the way it has. You can pinpoint other guys too. Brandon Belt, we've talked about that ad nauseum. Matt Chapman, we've talked about that ad nauseum. Alejandro Kirk, I don't know. I'd like to see some power out of him. But by and large, Vladdy is the guy that's supposed to be, as Mr. Barker would say, the aircraft carrier in this team.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. If Vladdy was hitting a bunch of homers and had 60-plus RBIs going into the All-Star break, they wouldn't have to be worrying about Brandon Belt hitting third because Vladdy would be hitting third.
Exactly. Sam in Hamilton. What's up, Sam?
Hey, guys. First of all, great to see Vladdy starting hitting home runs. But two things. One, about the Manoah thing. They have nothing in the pro. If they're not making a trade, if they really can't make a trade, like get like a, call Chicago about a trade or call an Arizona or a Colorado about a trade, then they have absolutely nothing in the minor leagues.
And two, there's one thing they have. I'm just going to jump in. There's one thing they have that we need to keep in mind. They've got ownership that will spend money. They've got ownership that might be willing to either take on a lousy contract or kick in a fair amount of money in a trade.
Well, why didn't they overlook that
because that's hugely important. In this market.
Yeah, anyways, before I get to Romano, I wish they did that last year with Soto. I mean, they could have taken Patrick Corbin's contract. But anyways, about Jordan Romano, why is he so good in safe situations and so bad in non-safe situations?
I mean, I'll pass it over to Kevin. Thanks. We've talked about this. I've seen closers that aren't very good in non-safe situations. I don't think the adrenaline's the same. But I don't know, Kevin. I've never closed. I mean, to me, I'd be jacked up regardless whether or not it's a safe situation. It's a major league game. It's July 4th. This case it was a safe situation, but that game, the game in the weekend against Boston, I know the score is tied, but it's the freaking Boston Red Sox. Your team's lost two games in a row to the Red Sox. You got a big crowd there. You know your team's scuffling in the AL East. Like, if I'm Jordan Romano, that should give me adrenaline, but I don't know. It's one of those things you do see it with closers for whatever reason. Jordan Romano's a different guy when he has a lead than when the score is tied.
Yeah, I think the only person that can answer that is probably Jordan Romano, but I think sometimes you maybe overthink that, right? Maybe they just have bad location. They throw a fastball down the middle to a dude. If you don't throw it down the middle, you're probably going to get him out, right? That's sort of sometimes with being a closer. Like tonight, when's the last time you saw him have two sliders? Like one that broke 12-6 and one that he could back foot to a lefty. It's been a while. Right, and that would tell you that he's put a real emphasis on. He threw 13 pitches. He threw 11 sliders. He had eight swing and misses on the slider tonight. Like that's against, elite stuff.
Yeah, against the bottom third of the lineup. It must be said. Sorry, against 5, 6, 7, 8. 5, 6, and 7. It's not the bottom.
Don't be a downer. Don't be a downer.
I'm not. I'm like just throwing it out
you,
there.
You, want, you, wanted, you wanted him to. It's a one-run lead on the road.
I'm just throwing that. I agree, but I'm just throwing that.
I mean,
out
if you want to give this, if you want to give the save to Eric Swanson because of the miscue in right field by George Springer, go ahead. Like you, I'm obviously you can do that. That's why I've been yelling and screaming since spring training to say that if you want to make a run in the playoffs, if you do make the playoffs, you need a legit eighth inning guy. You need that guy because normally in the eighth inning, that's when the 1-2-3s roll around in the order, and that's when you need to have nasty coming out of the pen. So, yeah, I'm a glass half full guy, Jeff.
416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. John Schneider was asked about Vladdy Jr. a few minutes ago. This is what he said.
I mean, that's an impressive swing off a good pitcher. The pitches he swings at is just telling, you know what I mean? When he's getting the ball in the middle of the zone, you know, he can do that at any given moment. So, I think for him, it really just comes down to pitch selection and kind of understanding how he's being pitched. Vladdy in a groove is dangerous. I mean, I think everyone knows that. Yeah, he's been in those spots, it seems like, quite a bit. And, you know, he's putting together consistent at-bats. But if we can get him, you know, Vladdy in a groove, I like that. If we can get that consistently, that would do wonders for our team.
That's John Schneider, Kevin Barker.
Jeff, do you want to apologize to Brandon Belt right now?
No.
Who walked in front of him before he hit the homer in the eighth inning?
We've said there's one thing Brandon Belt can do. He can draw a walk.
Absolutely. That's exactly. Pitches per plate appearance. That's exactly. Well, that's not the only thing. He's got six homers. But
we talked about this on Blair and Barker. We talked about this on Blair and Barker. Of course it is. There's no mystery why he's hitting third. If he's in your team, he's going to play. He does one thing as a hitter. Sees a lot of pitches and can draw a walk. All right. Stick him in the number three spot. Maybe he's on base when Vladdy gets hot. You don't want him in the cleanup spot. He's not a run producer. You don't want him in the cleanup spot. You don't want to hit him too far down in the order because I'll tell you what, you've got Alejandro Kirk in the lineup. You want to have a little bit of separation between those two guys because it does scream double play. So, yeah, that's, again, we talked about this today. There's no mystery why Brandon Belt is hitting where he is. There's a mystery why Brandon Belt is on this team. There's no mystery why he's hitting where he is in the lineup. That's probably the best way to put it.
First time I've ever been around you where I have nothing to add.
416-870-0590. We might as well just end the show now. Star 591, 888-666-0590. Brian in Burlington, you want to talk about the trade deadline? It's never too early to talk about the trade deadline.
Oh, good to talk to you guys again. Listen, would you rather go out and get an average guy for the bullpen and maybe a bat, maybe you can squeeze into the last wild card position, or would you rather make a blockbuster trade, like let's trade Gausman for Jose Ramirez out of Cleveland, because Cleveland isn't even batting for even 500 this year.
Cleveland's
in the Central.
We wanted
Jose Ramirez before. They tried everything to get him. Good. That would solidify. Okay. He's got a long-term contract. Your third baseman for next year.
He's got a no-trade clause. That's part of the issue. Secondly, he took less money to go to Cleveland. Jose Ramirez wants to be with the Cleveland Guardians. If he wanted to be with the Blue Jays, he could have forced a trade to Toronto. So Jose Ramirez wants to be with the Cleveland Guardians. He'd be the perfect player for this team. He ain't coming here. And trading Kevin Gausman, I mean, I don't even know where to begin with trading Kevin Gausman.
Right. We need a hitter. We need somebody to protect.
Well, who the hell's going to replace Kevin Gausman in the rotation? Like, come on. Well, give your head a shake. He's an all-star pitcher. You want to trade Kevin Gausman, one of the things this organization has done right. And, listen, I'd love a fantasy trade. I think the Jays should go out. I think they should go out and try to get Pete Alonso from the Mets, or they should go out and try to get Shohei Ohtani. But you got to have a little bit of common sense here. Now, as to your question about what you would do at the deadline, I've said, and Barker's on the same page with me, Brian, this team needs to add another bat. It needs to add another bat at some point this year or next year because Matt Chapman's not coming back. You got nothing in the farm that's going to come up and be an impactful middle-of-the-order hitter. Not next year. At some point, you are going to have to add an impactful middle-of-the-order bat. whether it's via trade or free agency. Now, for me, it's easier to do in the offseason than it is during the trade deadline. But a couple of things have happened here. First of all, today, the Los Angeles Angels, Mike Trout's out for 2 months possibly. Anthony Rendon left the game tonight on crutches. And Shohei Ohtani won't pitch in the All-Star game because of a blister. Now, the LA Angels were expected to be a team very active in the trade market because this is their shot to go to the postseason. This is their shot to impress Shohei Ohtani. If Mike Trout is out for 2 months, as it looks like he's going to be, and Anthony Rendon is hurt again, I mean, with all due respect to the Los Angeles Angels, they're not going to the postseason. You're going to have teams. I really believe this. You're going to have teams at the trade deadline. You're going to have teams like the Padres. You're going to have teams like the Mets. You're going to have teams like the Cardinals. There will be impactful players available at the trade deadline because there will be some teams that feel they need to make a change for whatever reason. It hasn't worked for the Mets for a couple of years now. It's not working for the Cardinals. The Padres basically are a tire fire. They hate each other. The clubhouse is toxic. I mean, it is. Everybody knows that. So you've got there are a lot of things going on out there that are going to have an impact in the trade market. Never mind, Kevin, something we talked about, right? As bad as the Jays have been lately, they had the third best record in the American League last month. Like, it's not like the American League is running away from the Blue Jays. It's more like the Blue Jays are just kind of standing in one place with everybody else. So I'm just saying that in terms of a deal, I'd love to see another bat in here. Realistically, Kevin, you're probably looking at a bullpen arm. I'd take a dude like Joe Kelly in my bullpen.
Sure. Depends on what it costs you, right? He's been around
forever. Yeah, but I mean, it's not going to cost you much.
Shouldn't.
It's not going to cost you much of anything. I'd take Joe Kelly.
Lance Lynn would be a nice little mix, right? Could throw that in there. Maybe try and get that. An older guy who can add, subtract, maybe give you some quality outs.
But, Kevin, I think we are on the same page. At some point, they do have to add another bat. I agree with the call.
Well, that Luis Roberts Jr. guy playing. Luis Roberts Jr. guy playing for center field for the White Sox. That'd be a nice little add, right? He's right hand. He's got tons of power. We had Alex Anthopoulos on today, and he's talking about you got to line your lineup with a bunch of dudes who can hit the ball out of the yard. Works in the playoffs. It's going to work in the regular season. That's how you win a bunch of games. And that for me, I think, is where the Blue Jays need to head in that right direction, right? Is trying out Homer, everybody. And right now they're just not doing that. So, yeah, I'm with you. Perfect scenario, right? You add another arm somewhere, whether it's an eighth inning guy, whether it's one of those fourth or fifth starters, not going to cost you a ton, can give you five innings better than what you don't have, which is nothing at the minor league level that can come up and give you that. And if you can add an impactful bat, maybe a guy, an on-base guy, who can get on base in front of the big boys, maybe Vladdy's turning the corner, maybe Matt Chapman, you know, the more he walked, could see the ball better, timing gets better, catch things out front. Maybe he can start hitting some more home runs. Maybe the bottom of the order. Kirky, dare I say, would catch fire. He's hitting the ball in the air at least. So that's a step in the right direction. I'm with you. Perfect scenario, you get both. But both probably not what we're going to see. And I would bet if you're a Jays fan, don't get your hopes up. I think that's too, is it sort of right? It's just not going to be Juan Soto coming in here. It'll be somebody that, you know, is going to just not hurt your team.
It's not going to hurt your team, guy. You know, it'll be an ad like some of the ads Alex made, Eddie Rosario or Adam Duvall or guys like that. It'll be somebody who hopefully gives you something you don't have.
The difference is that's the final piece they needed. The Jays need an impact piece. Big difference.
Yeah, but you may not be able to get that impact piece. So if you can't get that impact piece, bring somebody in that gives you something you don't have.
There you go.
Maybe somebody who doesn't run away and hide from a high pitch, you know, from a high strike, fastball up.
Hitting 98 at the belt ain't easy, Jeff.
We've talked all year about how this team does not like fastballs up in the zone.
I think that's a lot of dudes. I just think it's the ball that you get earlier in a count that's in your zone that you're either overswinging, head's not on the ball, you're not in an athletic position. Those are the ones that make you scratch your head.
4-3, the Jays have taken the first of this three-game series against the Chicago White Sox. We'll take a break, come back, take a look around the AL East. It's Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
I don't even think close to our potential. I think we've pitched at times really good. I think we've hit at times really good, but I think we've haven't even come close to putting it all together for a number of reasons. But overall, it's just I think everyone's healthy. We're about to get more guys back healthy. We've obviously survived having a rotation that's a little down. I think by far the best baseball we have is to come, not even close.
That's Chris Bassett. All I can say is I hope he's right.
Well, the pitching's been good.
Pitching's been fine.
This is not
whatever ails this team, and we can sit and whine and complain about different parts of the bullpen, but whatever ails this team, it's not in the pitching. Whatever ails this team is solely 100% on the Blue Jays lineup.
Absolutely.
Time now for the Major League Standings Watch, presented by Bet365. You can download the Bet365 app and check out the latest odds for today's baseball games. 19+, play responsibly, Ontario only. A good day in the American League East for the Blue Jays. It is the 4th of July in the United States. Happy 4th to our American friends.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that.
I appreciate that. The Philadelphia Phillies beat Tampa Bay 3-1. The Texas Rangers beat Boston 6-2. And the Yankees beat the Orioles 8-4. I don't know if that necessarily is a positive or a minus for the Blue Jays. But as a result of those games, the Rays, they're 57-31. They are leading the AL East by 6 games. Baltimore's 49-35. The Yankees 48-38. Toronto 46-40. The Red Sox 3 back of the Jays. They are 43-43. Playing 500 baseball. And we've talked about this a lot. The Jays are more or less done with the East. Their record is 7-20 against the East so far. All these guys can do, if you're the Jays, just win series. Just keep winning series. Keep winning series. Don't pay attention to the scoreboard. You're 2 out of the wild card now. I will say this. If you can kind of maintain that position going into those final 15 games of the year when you're playing teams in the AL East, then you've got it all in front of you. Because at some point, you're going to have to beat the teams in the AL East to get into the wild card spot. And here's the thing. If I'm the Blue Jays, I don't want to just get into the wild card spot. I started this year thinking I could win the division. I'm not going to be satisfied getting a wild card spot. I want to be a home team in the wild card. So, but that's where we are. And if you missed it a little earlier, a reminder that Mike Trout of the Angels has gone on the IL with a hamate injury. And he will be gone. They're saying 4 to 8 weeks. Split the difference. Let's make it 6. Add on another week just for giggles. Let's say it's 7 weeks that they're without Mike Trout. Shohei Ohtani left to start tonight with a blister, which is already on a hand that has already been bothered by a split fingernail. And Anthony Rendon hurt himself, which, I mean, if you're the Angels, happy 4th. Stay hot. John Schneider was talked about the bullpen usage today, in particular Eric Swanson.
You know, I think Swanee coming in and leaving the runner at third there, that was outstanding. You know, that's not easy to do. And I thought Nate was really good too. But momentum definitely shifted both ways really quickly tonight for us and for them. I mean, you trust the guys, obviously. You know, it's a weird play down the right field line with George. And, you know, you get the middle of their order coming up and you're like, all right, you got to bear down here. But I think, you know, we've put Swanee in that position, you know, enough times this year to where he's kind of used to that. So just big pitches, you know, against really good hitters by him.
Yeah, Kevin, I want to talk about Whit Merrifield's at bat, but also want to talk about Eric Swanson because, I mean, when Eric Swanson came in the game, the TV, the graphics are gruesome. In his last 20 appearances, he's got an ERA of 5.40. Teams are hitting something like 4.61 off him, some ungodly number, slugging 4.61 off him. Anytime that team's doing 4.61 off you, whatever it is, it ain't good. You know, George Springer doesn't come up with that ball down the right field line.
I'm in the camp that has to be called. I don't know about you.
I'm in the camp that
a really good right fielder in the 8th inning, catch the ball.
Now, he did earlier in the game have a ball down the line into the netting that ricocheted and kind of kissed him in the face. It didn't look to me like it was necessarily anything serious. I wondered about that, but Kevin, you're right. He's got to make that play. And one thing you can't do is you can't sit in your ass over and against the mesh while the ball is still in play. And I don't know. I tend to think because of Anderson's speed, he would have been to third. But George basically gave him an easy pass to third base doing that. Luckily, Eric Swanson comes in and, you know, and gets the job done. And we talked about this in Blair and Barker, man. I don't know if there's a guy in this team, Kevin, who needs the All-Star break more than Eric Swanson does, because he's been abused.
Yeah, well, he's an eighth inning guy who needs to locate. He ain't going to stuff you to death, right? He don't throw hard enough to stuff you to death, right? You can almost let the split finger travel more, right? It's 93, 94, that kind of thing. It's not 97, 98. That's the difference, right? 97, 98, I got to catch that out front a little bit more. I'm going to chase the split fingers. The split finger, for whatever reason, he's not – you know, having the best release point on it. It's not breaking the way he wants it to break. He has to locate it better, maybe because he's being abused. I mean, it sort of have to. It's the little turn when he lifts his leg, needs to be on par. It hasn't been. He threw 8 pitches to Roberts Jr. and Jimenez. He threw 7 split fingers. Good for him. He got an out after a position player didn't make a play they were supposed to.
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. We've still got time for a couple of calls. Two things I want to talk about tonight, Kevin. One, Bo Bichette's defense. Dan referred to this during the telecast. I know the next time Bo makes an error, we're going to have people calling up and saying he can't be a shortstop on a championship team. I mean, I don't know what else the guy has to show you.
Okay, here's the difference for me. I'm going to give it to you. This is how I feel about Bo Bichette's defense, because he's an elite offensive player, and now because he has a really good pre-pitch setup, right? You can see it whenever the camera's on him before the ball's actually hit. He's got a little bounce to step. You got to have that. Mm-hmm. The timing of that's on par. That will get him going momentum-wise one way or the other, which allows him to see the ball in the mitt. Sounds easy. Baseball 101, that's sort of what Bo's had the issue with. Take the ball out of the glove, throw it where it needs to go. That's a big thing. The Anderson ball played him. That's the elite stuff. That will take you to the next level. Come and get it. He laid back. He let the ball play him. That should be a double play from a really good shortstop. Now, all of a sudden, because he has a good pre-pitch setup, you start talking to him in the conversation like he's a good shortstop. Those balls that are hit 89 miles an hour, which everybody loves to talk about, the in-between hop, those balls have to be made from a really good shortstop. That's the way I'm going to start talking about Bo Bichette. There.
Whit Merrifield, this team has not been able to hit with runners in scoring position for much of the year. Whit Merrifield comes up tonight. The base is loaded. Dalton Varsho strikes out. Whit Merrifield comes up, first pitch swinging, doubles in a couple of runs. You noticed something about that at-bat right away you wanted to talk about, and I want to give you a chance to talk about it right now. Whit Merrifield, yeah, by the way, going to the All-Star game.
Well, two-hit Whit. There's a reason why his nickname's two-hit Whit, because he's a thinker. He is a very smart hitter, and he saw two of the three right-handed hitters in front of him got a first pitch slider. With the bases loaded and you're walking up and you're not a run producer, you got to have some good educated guessing sometimes. What are you going to look for? I know what I'd look for. I'd look for a slider right down the middle. What'd he look for? What'd he get? He gets it. He doesn't miss it. You could tell he's looking for it. He had the athletic position. He had enough little pause that will tell you he's sitting spin early, because he saw two of the three buddies that are right-handed in front of him get first pitch sliders. Jeff, that's called a everyday big league hitter. That's how you're supposed to do it. It's fun to watch.
4-3, the Blue Jays have beaten the Chicago White Sox. Chris Bassitt got the start. 6 innings pitched, 6 hits, 3 earned runs, 5 strikeouts, 1 walk. Nate Pearson got the win. I think we've now come to the conclusion with Nate Pearson, have we not, that really going forward, the plan with John Schneider is to use Nate Pearson every other day. Nate Pearson, I don't think right now you can use him back-to-back days. I mean, I understand, you know, the arm is enticing, all of that stuff, Kevin. I just think that Nate Pearson is a guy, he's not in the He's not in the group that the manager doesn't have confidence in. He's not in the group the manager has total confidence in. He's the group the manager kind of thinks he has confidence in, provided he's been off for a day or two. That's a situation that the Jays are going to have to manage. If you can get, and we've talked about Chad Green, if you can get another arm, another bullpen arm in here, Kevin, I think you can, Nate Pearson can be, can fill a really good role, understanding that you're not going to be able to run him out there 3 days in a row or 2 days in a row.
Yeah, I think
that may happen, but I don't think it's going to happen this year.
Well, I think it's probably going to happen if they don't have any other options, right? I think that's what it comes down to. Look, I think he's a reverse splits guy, right? Because of the elevated power that he can throw. Lefties have a tough time because they have a natural uppercut. That's sort of the mix. But you saw tonight, one-run lead, bottom of the order. Like, it's that's sort of what he's getting, right?
Yep.
You got to make sure pockets. John Snyder, Pete Walker always talk about pockets. They talk about pockets till they're blue in the face. That is, you seeing it line up now. This late in the season when they need wins, they need 44 more of them to get to 90, and then the rest of those are gravy. To get the 44, you got to have really good pockets with certain guys. Nate Pearson's one of those guys.
The problem, though, is that when you're playing really good teams, those pockets sometimes can be deadly. Right. This was a good situation for Pearson. I get your point, but I still think you have to be careful with him. If you're
yeah,
the Blue
I do.
Case.
I'm a thousand. That's what I just said. Pockets, bottom of the order, two lefties and a righty, like the elevated four-seamer. Like, I'm with you. Don't pitch him back-to-back days. Hope Chad Green gets back sooner than later, and now you got a plethora of dudes down there with power that you can go to, and you can match up when you want to match up, the way you want to match up.
4-3, the Blue Jays win a July 4th series opener at Guaranteed Rate Field in Chicago. Game two of that series goes tomorrow night. 8:10 first pitch on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet. Mr. Barker and myself will be back following that game. And we'll also be on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet from 5 to 7 Eastern with Blair and Barker. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Crown Rust Protection. Now that summer has arrived, it's road trip season. Make sure your vehicle is protected from rust with Crown. Visit crown.com for a special summer offer today. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection.